now listening to the Seventh Rounders.
Welcome back. The four boys are here to talk hoops, to talk baseball, talk really everything tonight. Listen, we just went through an electric weekend of college basketball. And here we are. We're alive to tell the tale. I don't think betting went super well for any of us. But Connor's shaking his head. I'll start with you, Connor. How'd your weekend go?
Good weekend, great basketball, horrible bets, man. It was a lot of bloodshed early and often. The public went 38-13 against the spread, rounds of 64-32. I typically try not to be on the same side of that, so you can imagine how that went. Best start for the public since at least 2005. We had favorites go 15-1 straight up in the round of 32. So a lot of chalk. Some good games. Nothing crazy in terms of like Cinderella. I guess NC State a little bit, Clemson a little bit. But I've heard the argument a lot of times now. Should hopefully lead to more competitive, better late round games. So I'm going to flush the round of 64, round of 32. Excited for the Sweet 16. I think there's a lot of good matchups to talk about tonight.
Dude, shout out to everyone that joined the bracket pool. We got a ton of entries. Some people were still trying to identify, maybe listeners of the program.
Yeah, Carter, call them out. Names? Call them out right now.
We're looking for a P. Williams and an A. Pullian. And so if you're out there, just hit us up. We'll get that word out. But yeah, we had 54 entries total. Pots looking at 1080 total. So successful pool. I have 0% chance of winning it. Well, shout out John's dad who's cooking right now. Although in hindsight, he really just picked all the best teams and it's working out for him. So we're happy for him though.
Dude, he rattled off some quick statistics on the John Senior bracket that's pacing the crowd right now. 13-16 Sweet 16 teams are still alive for him. 7-8 Elite Eight, Kentucky the only one to go down so far. He's got his whole Final Four intact. He did pick all of the one seeds, and that has led him to the 99.4 percentile. His East and Midwest are 100% accurate for the Sweet 16. Unbelievable stuff. Late entry. I offered to pay his buy-in, and he's gonna get a free entry. And you know, if it keeps going down this path with the ones, a pretty handsome payday in retirement. There, I mean, dude's got it made right now.
Yeah, who's got it better than him?
Seriously. Well, it was Jim Harbaugh, and then it was Dan Monson from Long Beach State. And now we're gonna need a new interview.
Yeah. Live from John Senior.
But yeah, I agree, dude. I mean, I think the obviously we got the Sweet 16 is amazing. I love how the round of 64, like that's when I want the matchups to be some upsets, right? But the round of 32, give me the best teams after that. And we got that in the Sweet 16. This is the best Sweet 16 I can remember in my time.
Yeah, I agree. You guys hitting all the big points. Couple things for me. One, listening back to the pod last week, we got some things right and we didn't stick to any of it. You know, like I think we had some foresight. And I didn't follow through with any of my bets on that. I didn't my bracket didn't resemble what I said in the pod last week. That's hands up on me. Some quick shout outs to the SEC, fraudulent, stick to football. I'm sorry, John. Cox had a great year. Very disappointing tournament for them though. And then Mountain West outside of San Diego State carrying their water again. The letdown of the weekend for me was a team I talked up last week, Nevada Blue. I think it was a 18-point lead with like 4.5 minutes left, 7 minutes.
17-point lead, but yeah,
17 point lead, yeah, and let Dayton come back in the first round. That was a really good game, but that was disappointing. And I really thought Nevada had a chance to take out Arizona in round two. Complete no show from New Mexico, but they dropped to a Clemson team that has really surprised. Kentucky, probably the upset of the weekend, right? Kentucky going down to Oakland. I don't know what would rival that. I guess Yale over Auburn competes as well. Speaking of which, another one we touched on last week, bet on Auburn, picked Auburn in my bracket. So it was just, you know, just didn't listen to myself. I'm mad at myself.
I was really disappointed in myself that, like, looking back, it was so obvious New Mexico was laying an egg in that game. I'm so mad that I was just all over them. Everyone thought they were the best team ever. You knew they were going to lose. So that one sucked. The Kentucky one, definitely biggest upset of the week, in my opinion. Quite honestly, didn't even think Kentucky played terrible or bad, really. I mean, we have Jack Golkey with an all-time tournament game, and, you know, that's why we love March. Some of the memes were killing me. It was like him at a car dealership, like,
bro, didn't he dribble the ball like less than 10 times or some stupid shit? It was like hit 10 threes in that game.
Yeah, and there was the stat that he's taken like hundreds of threes, but only like 8 2-pointers this
year. Yeah, it's amazing. Insane.
Another game that was a bit surprising me was Grand Canyon just blew out St. Mary's. You know, I thought St. Mary's was actually better this year, but clearly they were not. And then another one in hindsight, like, there's certain teams you just got to trust. Michigan State, I know they lost to UNC. Obviously, they were going to win that first round matchup. And Gonzaga, man, they just make Sweet 16s. That's what they do. So those were a couple teams highlight. And then shout out Iowa State, proven to be a legit team, I think, at this point. And Illinois has impressed me as well from some of the less known teams.
Dave, you hit on the SEC. I want to give a quick shout out to just the best conference in college basketball, the ACC.
They've consistently shown up the last few years in the tournament. Yeah. We got to give them credit.
Obviously sarcastic there, but yeah, so four teams into the Sweet 16. I mean, UNC Duke probably doesn't surprise any of us, but I do think, I mean, Duke specifically, they appear to be playing their best basketball of the year. And I think they can give Houston a run for their money. And then UNC, I mean, listen, not the hardest first and second round games, but take care of business, especially a Sparty team that is frisky this time of year. I mean, they went out there and handled their business. So I was very impressed. Then the other two, I mean, Clemson, I did not think there was a shot in hell we would see Clemson in the Sweet 16, but here they are. They knocked out Baylor, arguably one of the most impressive wins of the weekend. I'm having a hard time rooting for Joe Girard, but I guess good for that program. And then NC State, I feel like another team we kind of faded, especially last week, just refuses to die. And then the last note, I guess, from me, the Saturday afternoon, Gonzaga versus who Purdue. Gonzaga play? Purdue. No. No,
oh,
no,
you're
no.
Talking about Gonzaga, Kansas.
Gonzaga, Kansas was just an awesome basketball game. Just a treat to watch. And yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, Kansas Gonzaga fell apart in the second half. But I was just so impressed with, I mean, the ball movement from both teams, specifically Gonzaga, for the full game. I mean, Gonzaga has Purdue, another one that, like, I think I'm going to be taking Gonzaga there. A little sneak peek. I really like where Gonzaga's at. So those are my main takeaways from the first weekend, I guess, before going back over to you guys. What are your thoughts on, so Sweet 16 games Thursday, Friday? There's 2 7 o'clock in the 7 o'clock region, and then 2 in the 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Before we move forward, are we moving on from any other thoughts, Johnny?
No. I mean, Chad just gives me no time of day to talk.
I was going
to
say.
Sometimes. I mean, it's absolutely egregious. Like, he knows fraction of what I'm able to provide to the program and the people out there. And it's just like, go fuck yourself. He's like, any thoughts? And then he's already asking a question about the slate on Thursday. It's like, dude, stop. Just pause. Take a minute.
I thought I did a good job there.
What are you?
I thought
I did a good horrible job. It was one of your worst jobs I've ever.
Still a lot to recap, Chad. There's still a lot to talk about.
I know you're in a hurry, but give me a second to chime in. Yeah. So quickly, I mean, great season out of the Gamecocks. Sad that it ended as it did. Blowout loss. Really, we're out of it. Jermaine Cousinard, I mean, decided he wanted to go all world, you know, in the really the round of 64 and 32, because he went out against Creighton. He balled out. Him and Dante had 30 of the last 32 points of that game, I think, against Creighton, something crazy. Cousinard dropped 40 against us, though. Huge revenge spot.
He had killed 40 us. Dante against killed Creighton, us. Too. I think he's Creighton, too.
You'll never see that again out of him. But good for him. Good for them. They did lose. They gave it a run. NC State keeps the show going. Unlike Oregon, they were able to get it done. And I agree with you, Chad. I'm bullish on Gonzaga. I had them in my final four, and I have them plus 10,000 future to win the event. So would love to see Mark Few finally get it done in a year he wasn't supposed to. You know, they were on the bubble not long ago, and that's one of the takes I've had that's aged quite well. Whereas others have it, Morehead State, I had them in my Elite Eight. Didn't work out against Illinois, but they laid a little bit of a blueprint. They played them pretty tough. And Iowa State's going to play a similar style defense where they're going to try to force the ball handler. It's going to be Domask for most of the game. They're going to try to force him baseline, and then he's going to have to figure out how to get the ball out of there. It's worked for Iowa State against a lot of teams. We'll see if it does against Illinois. Samford, quick shout out to Samford. They were down like 25 against Kansas in the first half in the round of 64. And they came back and really potentially, you know, had a shot. They could have won the game. They blocked it. They called it a foul on Samford. That thing wasn't – there was all ball. So I don't know. You guys probably saw that play, but I mean, Samford got hosed a bit, and then yeah, Kansas played a great first half against Gonzaga, but it didn't sustain to the second half. So,
can I make a make a quick suggestion? What if we snake draft our favorite games of the round of 64 and round of 32? So we just go down and back, and then once a pick is used, it can't be used again.
I can tell you my least favorite game.
I feel like we'll cover a lot of the games there. Thoughts? Oh, yeah. You guys can all say no. That's fine.
I love it. We'll go through. We'll do that. And while
who wants the first pick?
While you're thinking of your favorite, my least favorite game, dude, was the first game of March Madness. I come into Spectrum Center, me and Mike Rodriguez, just high on life. Michigan State, Mississippi State, we're all over the Bulldogs. And from start to finish, they just got blown out by Sparty. Just got pounded into the sand. They barely broke 50. It was tough. And to answer your question earlier, Chad, round of 64 was a bloodbath. Round of 32 made it all back. Round of 32 was fantastic for the Clemens. Dave, go ahead with your favorite game.
I think – so we'll start the 64. So we just give a pick in the round of 64. Once a pick is used, you can't use it. And then we'll snake back with the round of 32. 64 for me, I thought the best game was Florida-Colorado. 102-100, Colorado won. Very impressive tournament for Colorado. I know they got knocked up by Marquette, but they were impressive. And, man, I was going nuts with you guys because Walter Clayton just personified what a March guard was in that game, had an incredible late push for Florida there to keep him in it. And, man, that game was incredibly entertaining down the stretch. Very high scoring. You don't see two teams in the 100s too often. That was probably my the most entertaining game of round one to me. Heartbreaker that Florida lost. I had him going to the Sweet 16. So that'll be my first pick of the draft.
That's a strong one. That's a tough one to beat.
Powers.
John.
Second
I have pick. One.
All right,
I have a John. Dark horse. Listen, the Auburn-Yale game was great, but I was unfortunately all over Auburn. And
I needed a buzzer beater anytime in the round of 64. And I thought that or the Colorado Florida game was going to give it to me. And they were within 3 minutes of each other. Those wild finishes happened, but they didn't. So that one doesn't win. UAB San Diego State on Friday after on. Yeah, it was Friday afternoon on the patio. That was a great game. I mean, UAB had they had everything in the bag that they could have needed to win that game. They just didn't get it done in the end, but they covered for me. And that was a hell of a game to watch. I mean, those teams had very similar styles of play. It was an exciting game.
It's a good pick. Powers, pick three, round of 64.
He took mine, so I'm scrambling right now.
I'll go quickly and keep it short, but I really enjoyed you hit on it earlier, the St. Mary's Grand Canyon game. I mean, all has to do with I took Grand Canyon in that game, and I don't know. I felt comfortable the whole time watching it, so it's just an enjoyable game to watch.
I'll go with Northwestern FAU. I thought that was a great game, even though it was absolutely hideous to start.
That was a good one.
Dusty made darts the next day. Yeah, I should have had some foresight with that one, seen it coming. Should have taken Northwestern over FAU.
Actually, I'm going to change my answer to Duquesne BYU because I was all over Duquesne. That was a fun one for me.
It was a good one.
Duquesne bullied them. Like, that game was not as close as the final score indicates. Like, that never felt like Duquesne was actually in jeopardy of losing that.
BYU was they were like candy corn all year, man. I mean, just absolutely lacked substance. I mean,
Washington State Drake was a good one as well. Another close
one. That was a good one. There were four bets that felt like just sucker on upset picks. And I think they went 2-2. I think Washington State, Drake over Washington State was a big sucker pick. Washington State wins. And it was Gonzaga. McNeese over Gonzaga was a big sucker pick. Gonzaga almost doubles them. Samford over Kansas felt like a sucker pick. Samford covered. They probably could have won that game outright. And then
Yale felt like a sucker pick too, though. And they won outright.
Yeah, they won outright. New Mexico was the suckiest sucker pick of them all. And they just – I hate myself for – it's like I let the regular season perception and emotions of these teams and I latch onto them in this event, and I need to detach because that killed me with New Mexico, man. It really did. And South Carolina, obviously.
You know, that's why, you know, there's always emotions involved. You can't –
the way she goes.
Stop it.
Connor, madness. Do you want to pick the round of 32 game? The round of 32 was fantastic, by the way. I mean, outside of a couple games, there's only good answers here.
Round of 32. Sorry, I'm just going.
No, you're not.
Connor's on the board. On the clock.
I'm going to go Clemson Baylor. Was my favorite game of the round of 32. Just thought Baylor it was solid basketball across the board in that one, yeah.
Chad, do you?
I hit on it earlier, Gonzaga, Kansas. The ball movement had me turned on, even though the final score wasn't.
That's one of the more poor picks you actually could have checked. The first half was great. That was close in the second half. Gonzaga went on like
blowout.
Gonzaga won like a 15-0 run to open up the second half, and it was not competitive.
Gonzaga used their four horsemen in the backcourt, and they made Hunter Dickinson so tired. Like, that Kansas rotation was exhausted. They were running. Gonzaga was pounding them with the same play the entire second half, basically from what I saw. They're good. They're very good. They played Purdue really tough in Maui early in the season. They should have won that game. They didn't. Glad we get a rematch. Is it my pick?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, good God. Texas A&M Houston, guys. Come on. Yeah,
come on. Come that on. Should have been the first pick.
Come on. Texas A&M Houston was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I was also took an alternate line with a boost on Houston -4.5. So, I mean, just a roller coaster of emotions that ultimately covers. And usually when it's like that, it doesn't actually cover, but it did. And, I mean, futures on Houston won it all, win the East, you name it. All over Houston, needed it. It was amazing. I could not sleep after that.
The best part of that game was that walk-on kid having to come in and knock down a free throw.
Elvin, dude.
Elvin, Ryan Elvin.
Drills a free throw.
Ugh. Yeah, he looked
what
he
a moment.
Extremely I mean, nervous.
He missed the he first missed... one. I was like, oh shit.
Dude, to make the second after missing the first, a lot of stones on the guy. He hadn't gotten a new game. I mean, good for him. Fucking incredible.
So
that's what March is all about. I mean, truly, that game encapsulates what March is all about.
So because of Chad's just heinous pick, I'm not gonna hit
heinous?
On
heinous or heinous?
It's heinous, guys.
Heinous, I think John's heinous. Right. Heinous with an H.
Three different ways.
Texas, Tennessee had juice. Oregon Creighton was awesome. That one went to overtime. Like crazy, crazy game. I enjoyed the shit out of Marquette, Colorado, though, the first game on Sunday.
That was
what
a good one.
What a game of guards. I mean, what is it? It's Cam Jones for Marquette was playing really well for them.
Joplin's having a good tournament too.
But then, man, Colorado was a team I just really enjoyed their game against Florida and then the game against Marquette. That the Silva kid and KJ Simpson, like those dudes are ballers, man. I did not realize they were such a good shooting team either. Like I didn't watch any Colorado this year, quite frankly. So, I really enjoyed that game. That was down to the wire.
An impressive one in
the second half.
I was going to say you named Texas, Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee stopped scoring in the last 4 minutes. I was in Spectrum for that one. We had a really bad Charlotte pod on Thursday, 4 blowouts, but the 2 games we got Saturday were good. I mean, Tennessee let them back in. Texas probably shouldn't have been that close, but they were. So Tennessee survives. And then, dude, the first game we got North Carolina, Michigan State. Really impressed with North Carolina. They went down 12 early and then ripped off a 17-0 stretch in the middle of a 23-3 run. And they just took control of the game, won by 16. It felt like it was closer than 16. Like, I think that was one of the more exciting games, especially in the first half.
Agreed.
UNC is really impressive. I think that UNC and Houston winning the way that they did, battling adversity in different ways, I think those teams are going to be propelled. I think they're making the Final Four. I have them in my Final Four and my championship, so I'm praying to God that happens. And futures on both. I really need it to happen, guys. I need UNC Houston in the title.
That was something
super unbiased pick.
Yeah, that was something I got wrong on the pod because I called out either Houston or UNC as being the one seed that would lose the 8-9 matchup. They were the two that were closest. UConn and Purdue blew out Utah State and Northwestern. Anyways, good on UNC and Houston for taking care of business. Those are both good games.
One game we didn't mention, NC State in overtime beating Oakland. That game came on the Jumbotron, and we heard there was tons of NC State fans in the arena screaming for that game. 7 wins in 12 days. Shout out to Coach Keats, DJ Burns, DJ Horn, the whole crew. I mean, what they're doing is special, and I think they're live against Marquette, guys. I do.
Kevin Keats is getting guap right now. He's got like every win.
I think they're so live against Marquette. Anyway,
I completely forgot that game went to overtime. That was
a bunch of I'd say bunch of blowouts. Otherwise, I mean, Arizona beat Dayton. That game, the final score was closer really than it felt. Illinois beat the piss out of Duquesne. Chad's game of the day, Gonzaga with a 21-point win over Kansas. Again, that was Chad's game of the day. Iowa State was down 7-0 early and end up winning by 11 against Washington State. Washington State just didn't have any juice left. Iowa State wore them down. Purdue's actually still scoring against Utah State. Just abused the poor Aggies out there. UConn beat Northwestern, another one where the final might be a little closer than it felt. And Duke overwhelmed James Madison start to finish, just took him behind the shed in a similar fashion to how San Diego State did against Yale. And we didn't touch on this one, but Grand Canyon went up 3 with about 5 minutes left against Bama. And then Bama had to finish that game on like a 15-0 run, win by 11. I don't cover my spread. I had Grand Canyon money line in the last leg of a really fun parlay. So that hurt.
That game was so drunk, dude.
It was crazy. Dude, the crowd for Grand Canyon that they brought to that arena. I mean, it was close for them.
Have you seen their student sections at home games?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, crazy, it's awesome. Shit,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Couple things I wanted to touch on trend wise. Rick Barnes falls to 4-16 against the spread. in the tournament since 2010. UConn has now covered 8 straight tournament games. They're an absolute fucking wagon when they get in the NCAA tournament. Hubert Davis moved to 8-0 against the spread. And I think that is it for now. Well, NC State, we were talking about them a little bit. They were up to 1,000-1 to win the entire tournament on March 11th. So do you have that?
10,000.
Sorry, yeah, 10,000-1. 10, no, plus 10,000, but 1,000-1.
Okay, I got 10, you. 10, I got 10. You. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm all the way there. Yeah, man, the round of 32 gave us a lot of favorites, which means the best Sweet 16, like I said, that I can remember having. I mean, it's there is not a matchup I look at, I'm like, oh, wow, I can miss this one.
Mm-hmm.
All around. I mean, all right, so
San Diego State, Connecticut, I don't know if you need to watch that one, to be honest.
It's a title game rematch. Title game rematch. A
title game that UConn won by about 50.
Title game rematch, dude. You never know. You never.
I'd be shocked if that game's within 15. To be honest with you.
Quick shout out to. I mean, he's probably gonna make first team tournament. I would hope. I would think. I mean, they probably need to win again. But Jaden Ledee has been Superman for San Diego State so far. He'd 32-8 against UAB in round one. 26-9 against Yale. And he came into the tournament, his last three games in the Mountain West tournament were 25, 22, 34. This guy is doing everything for him.
Thank you, dude.
He looks like he could play middle, outside linebacker, defensive end, and tight end on any NFL roster right now, too.
All right. So you guys want to go game by game here? Sweet 16, give a little breakdown, give some picks.
Yeah, let's do it. Clemson, Arizona.
Clemson, Arizona, yeah. I think should be a fun game. Clemson's guards have obviously shown up here in the tournament. That was a big question coming in. They've made it this far. PJ Hall arguably hasn't even played a good game yet. So that's something to keep an eye on for Clemson fans. But Zona, 7.5-point favorites, over under is 152.5. I have no idea what I'm gonna do with this game betting wise yet, but my initial lean is Clemson keeps this close. I think a lot of it's going to come down to whether or not Arizona's hitting the three or not, ultimately.
I kind of like what Clemson's doing, honestly. I was obviously wrong about Arizona getting to the second weekend, but like you said, like Clemson's guards, like – as much as I don't like Joe Girard playing pretty well, I think the difference maker for them is Chase Hunter. Like he was kind of an assassin against Baylor. And you're right, like PJ Hall fouled out of that Baylor game. Like didn't really seem like he had his best stuff. And like he's a great player. Like, I think he was the second leading scorer in the ACC this year. They had John. What do you call the Schifflin guy? The Michelin man.
The Muffin Man, dude. Muffin fucking Man. Muffin Man was bullying these 4 and 5 stars on Baylor the entire game, just bullying.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. I
cooking them.
And I'm kind of just betting on the honestly in this one. I kind of think I'm just betting on the ACC to take out the Pac-12. I'm just not a believer in Arizona, and that might I could be way wrong then. But I like Clemson getting 7.5.
If Arizona loses, we will still not have had an NCAA champion from west of Texas since 1997. So a lot on the line. Well, that's not true because Gonzaga is technically west of Texas too. So they could keep the dream alive.
7.5 feels like too many to me.
I'm with you. I hate it. I hate it. I was relatively low on Arizona coming in. I think 7.5 is too many. I do think Clemson will cover that. The game's in Los Angeles, so, I mean, Arizona should have a larger crowd out there. Clemson fans are crazy. I do know that. They'll probably get a decent enough crowd, even though they're a football school. Listen, Arizona, they need to find the three ball. Clemson's a little above average defending the three, but Arizona actually gets a lot of their point share from making two-pointers, and Clemson forces teams to the outside, and they defend the two really well. So it's an interesting matchup for that reason. I think it's going to be a Clemson cover. I don't know who wins. I think they do enough, though. They've been a very feisty, annoying team for teams to face that haven't been in the ACC. It's like the ACC figured them out a little bit, especially at the end of the year, but they get into this event, it's totally different.
I will say the one positive of Clemson having this run, BC, the last team to beat them.
So BC, what I'm saying,
BC is on about the path to go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Transitive property, possibly national champs.
Yes.
If Clemson keels going. Chad, any feeling this game?
I am probably going to go Clemson spread, but I think Arizona wins the game. That's all I have.
Chauncey Wiggins, PJ Hall, and the Muffin Man, they're going to have their hands full with Arizona's bigs, Ballo and Crevis, but I think they can do the job. I think they'll keep it close. I think they can do the job.
7.5 feels a little disrespectful, man. Like,
yeah.
It just does. Yeah. They just wiped out Ken Baylor Pom. Really impressively.
I kind of feel like we're due for a Caleb Love explosion game, to be honest.
We definitely could be. But we could be due for a pumpkin, dude. He's you never know what you're going to get.
I'm not a Caleb Love guy. Yeah, I don't know.
Ken Pom gives us a 5-point spread to Arizona. So they like Clemson to cover over there, Mr. Pomeroy. Next game
on Thursday, San Diego State, Connecticut. This game is in Boston at TD Garden. I'm not going to be there, but it is in Boston. Can I get 10.5-point favorites over under 135.5? I think I like the under a bit in this game, even though it's a bit low. Just think it's going to be two teams just basically just smashing each other for a while. I do think Connecticut ultimately covers this game and wins pretty handily, but I could see it being like a 30-20 first half score, something crazy like that.
That's where my bet is right there. San Diego State first half. I mean, if they go down big in the first half, there's no way. I don't think they cover a full game spread. Like, I don't think you go down on UConn and cut it back. So it's probably 6.5, I would think, is what the first half number is. I'm sure somewhere around 6.5. I'll take San Diego State on that number, but good luck. It is a revenge game, and I think with D's going to be a I think they're going to be feisty, and I think they're going to challenge them for a half at least.
It's hard for me not to just take UConn. Like, maybe they just ship pump them. I don't know. I think I lean UConn. I don't know anything about San Diego State outside of they made the Final Four last year. They're frisky this year. Clemens likes them, which means I should probably like them, but give me UConn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I agree with John. If I think if you're going to go on San Diego State, I think I like the first half play. I just it's just tough. The way UConn's just throttling teams right now, man, I have a hard time believing that that San Diego State's going to actually give them a big scare here.
San Diego State returned a lot of the same talent, a lot of the big, you know, they lost some guys, but they returned Butler, Ladie, and Trammell. They're going to remember that game. I just don't think they're – at least not early. I don't think they get blown out.
You know what they're going to remember, dude? You know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember we got our shit kicked in. And we didn't even have a chance against that team.
Yeah. And Dan Hurley is a psychopath, dude. Like, I think he's got this UConn team. He's like – it's like Kirby, like saying that they're like disrespected and like they got put in the region of death and like – he was like saying that it was disrespectful, like this game's in Boston, like they should be closer to Connecticut. Yeah. It's like you're in the New England area.
No, he was pissed that they got the early game on Thursday. He wanted more rest.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, like I just think he's got these guys, like UConn, I don't think there's any type of like hangover or anything like that. Like I think they are just on a war path right now because he's a psychopath.
Two notes and then last things from here. KenPom, I'm just going to reference him every game at this point, has UConn minus eight. And I think 80, 90% of the bets public are all on UConn. Those are my concerns. I think it's this everyone, no one is taking San Diego State. I think that's a good time to pounce on them if you're going to do it.
For me, dude, I'd rather just, if San Diego State is good for them, I'm so fine.
I am not going to put out of the cover.
Yeah, I'm taking first half. I'm going to do the first half, but I probably won't touch anything.
Does Connor, you touched on the public having such a great first weekend. Does Vegas build that into these lines this weekend? Is that?
I will say both Arizona laying 7.5 and UConn laying 10.5 feels very. We'll take all your money on.
Betting favorites.
The other side, yeah. I think part of it is I think it's such a long season that even though the volume's way higher in March, they got killed like one weekend. How much do they really care?
Yeah,
and two, it's like, are they now like over adjusting numbers and then? Like fucking themselves. I think they're just playing the same numbers they had coming into the tournament with minor tweaks.
There's no panic in Vegas.
No, I wouldn't.
If we know anything, I think this weekend there's going to be a day where the public just gets smeared.
Yeah,
and I mean we see it happen every time. It might be a little bit longer.
They never lose.
Yeah.
it's probably going to be the rest of the tournament every single day, let's be honest. Public did way too well the first weekend. Bama UNC first 9:30 game. I hate the game. Why is these 7:09 and 9:39 as the 6 and 8? Come on. Anyway, Bama UNC, probably the most intriguing game of the first night of Thursday. This game's being hosted in Los Angeles. It's a 4.5-point spread in UNC's favor. KenPom has a -2.
I don't give a damn.
I need the Tar Heels.
I love the Tar Heels. -4.5.
I need the Tar Heels.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Bama is still fraudulent, all right? I don't think Charleston was that good of a team. I don't even know who they played. They get Grand Canyon the second round. This team is pure 3-point shooting variance. If they don't come out and shoot lights out, UNC is going to put this one away early. They're going to blow them out. I might even look at UNC first half, UNC full game. One more note, the total, 173.5, is the highest total in the tournament since I think seeding era began, which was like 1980. And Bam has now been involved in the three highest total games, and they've all been this tournament.
I pounded the under in Grand Canyon. Bama was the easiest bet of the weekend. It was part of my parlay that hit. It was a great, great hit. I will hit the under here too. Promise you that.
I just think UNC can actually play some defense. They're going to be way more physical than Bama. They're going to out-rebound them. Bama plays no defense. I think they get exposed this game and lose pretty handily.
Nate Oates has got to be running a hell week of practice as much as he can without exhausting his guys. Because, I think UNC is going to be really physical for them. Bama playing the SEC. I mean, I think the SEC is about the most physical conference, quite honestly. So it might not be something that frightens them. But I think the big thing to key in on here is UNC likes to get to the stripe. Their biggest, they have a high point share percentage from free throws, and Alabama has been murdered by teams. They get into foul trouble very easily. They've been killed at the stripe by other teams. UNC can take easy advantage of that. And Bama doesn't cause much havoc on defense. So they need the shots to fall early and often to not. UNC, we've seen them come back, dude. If they're down 15-20, they can come back. They're dangerous.
I'm with you guys in UNC here. One of my favorite players I watched over the weekend, which was in that Michigan State UNC game, was Seth Trimble. That dude is a freak. My goodness. He's sick. He is like, I don't know if he's an NBA prospect at this point, but if he makes it to the NBA, he's going to make an all NBA team at one point. Defensive team, that is. Sorry. Anyways, I was really impressed with UNC in that Michigan State game. Like, this is a really, really old team. Like, RJ Davis, Baycott, Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram's been around a little bit, right? Like, I think they're going to take care of business here. Alabama, I'm not impressed with.
Good call on Trimble, dude. He'll be a problem. And he effectively replaced Kudo in that game because Kudo couldn't defend Michigan State's guards.
Throw Mark Trimble Sears on, is their on best Sears. Player. Yeah, throw Trimble on Sears and give him hell.
That's the game plan. If Sears isn't going, Bama has absolutely no chance in this game.
Wow, I didn't even realize that we had this fourth Thursday game here. Snuck up on me. Illinois, mm-hmm. Iowa State. I'd argue this is probably game of the night over Bama, UNC.
The 9 and 10 window is fantastic.
Yeah. Iowa State -1.5, over under 145.5. I've gone back and forth in this game, but I think I lean Iowa State at this point. I'm going to let the money settle a little bit more and see where the public's at. But first glance, Iowa State for me.
This one's been sliding. It was 3.5 for Iowa State to open. It's 1.5 now, and I'm with you. I think that this is Illinois looked very sharp, but Iowa State defensively has been just havoc upon havoc. I was a little low on Illinois, and I'm pretty low on Underwood as a March coach. Otzelberger's got this Iowa State team with less talent, I think, in previous seasons deep. I think they get it done. I think they go to the Elite Eight. Iowa State continues to fly under the radar. Taman Lipsey is a beast. I need him to come alive here. Assert a March name for himself in this game. Come on, Taman.
So you guys are wrong. This Illinois wins this game. Line, quite frankly, close. I thought Iowa State was going to be 4 or 5 point favorite. I have a feeling. Connor, do you have the public plays on this right now? I have a feeling Iowa State
is on Illinois.
Hammered.
No, it's not,
the
wrong.
Public's on
totally
Illinois.
Wrong. Completely wrong, dude. Okay. The public is the public and the number was at 3.5. It's 1.5 now.
Good. Give me Illinois. I don't know. Iowa State. I don't have a good reason outside of it's a vibes play, Illinois.
Okay. I'm actually with Chad here. This is definitely the Big Ten bias coming out for me, but honestly, it just comes down to like I know Iowa State is like the number one defensive team in the country, like per KenPom. Like I just at this time of the tournament, these type of games, I trust the teams that can go out and get buckets. Like honestly, I just do. Illinois, I think, can score with anybody. I just love like I don't love Terrence Shannon, but like he's a beast. And so is Domask. Talked about Coleman Hawkins last week. Like this team is dangerous. And I think it's gonna be close, like not going on a limb there. It's basically a pick'em, or it might get moved to a pick'em, but like again, I'm just gonna trust the team that I think is good, can go get buckets when they need to. And like between Domask and Shannon, like I think they got the guys who can do it. So I'll take Illinois.
If Illinois can funnel it into the inside, they're really good against the two. They get shredded against the three. I mean, it depends how Iowa State tries to attack them. I think the first 10 minutes are going to be critical.
Well, like Iowa State doesn't shoot the three all that well, do they?
They do. They have compared with the rest of the nation, they're better shooting the three than they are the two, but they have a higher point distribution with the two. So they're more used. I would say that they prefer to score by way of a two-pointer, but they actually have a better efficiency rating with the three.
That all makes sense. I was just looking at three-point percentages. I mean, yeah, like it looks like they're decent as a team. Lipsy's their best shooter. Yeah.
It's a good matchup.
I think it's the best game of Thursday. And it's really a clash of styles, right? Because Illinois grades out horribly defensively, mm-hmm. but is like a top five offensive team, whereas Iowa State is number one defensively. Not as bad offensively, but you know, defense carries a lot of them.
Yeah.
On to Friday, 7 o'clock. NC State Marquette. I'll be on Marquette this game. I think the Cinderella run ends. NC State's my TCU, man. I'm going to fade them until they finally lose. So I'm on Marquette minus 6.5 here. And we've seen when these Cinderella teams, and I know they're an ACC team, but they're still a Cinderella team. When they lose bad. The wheels fall off oftentimes. So I'll be taking Marquette minus 6.5 here.
I'm in agreement. 70% or so of the public on NC State hate that. A lot of the money on Marquette. NC State's going to die at some point. It's just a matter of time. And I think it is in the Sweet 16 this year. So give me Marquette to win, spread, all the above.
I'm in agreement with you guys. I feel like NC State carried that ACC tournament wave of momentum into last weekend. And now we're a little further removed from that. And, you know, they've had a big week. This is the biggest spotlight yet. And I kind of agree that I think Marquette maybe puts a hammer down on him a little bit here.
Still don't trust Shaka. I don't know if NC State's time on the dance floor is done, guys. I take him to cover. Not going to elect the money line play on them yet, but I think that DJ Burns could maybe kind of exhaust Oso Iguodaro. I mean, talk about two different body types in the post right there. It's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think this is going to be a fun game. And Marquette, the way that they kind of let Colorado back into it, I still don't trust them in this spot. I think that they could let them back in. I think NC State keeps it close. Give me the Pack.
Yeah, I think if you're Marquette, don't let them hang around. Don't let NC State hang around there and like capture any of the momentum late. Like, I feel like you got to put them away early. Because they're like one of those teams right now, you know, and they're not really a Cinderella, but they kind of are. And
yeah,
once they start believing, you know, it gets tight in the second half there. We'll see what happens.
Gonzaga, Purdue.
Yeah.
I might be most excited for this one. I'm with you, Chad, on the Zags. I said it earlier. I think that they're going to remember that loss in Maui that they should have won. They're going to get it done. They're a fun team. They got great guards. I mean, EK's fantastic. Nemhard's fantastic. They do a lot of things really well. They do a lot of the same thing well, and they'll exhaust you. They will absolutely exhaust you if you let them. So Purdue, I'm curious to see their approach on Zach Edey in this game. But yeah, give EK the ball, Nemhard, Anton Watson. I highlighted a lot when I was previewing it. He's, I mean, a top 10, 15 player in the country based on a lot of efficiency metrics. So see what happens there. Give me the Zags. Give me the Zags.
I don't have a really good feel for this game. So I think it's going to be a great matchup, but I don't. Might be one that I sit on the sidelines for.
I'll be on Purdue. Big Ten guy here, just carrying the water for the Big Ten. Graham Ike has been really good, but I don't think he can. I don't like the matchup for him against Edie. I mean, I know defensively they'll throw more than just Ike at him, but every time I watch Ike, which has really been in the latter half of the season here, like he likes to score in the paint. Like, he's got no stretch to his game. I don't think he shoots the ball at all in the outside. Like, I don't think he's gonna be getting buckets inside on Edie. And it seems like a lot of what they've done is kind of ran through him. I know, like, Nemhard and Watson are good players, and I think Purdue, kind of similar to what I just said about what game were we just talking about before this. Anyways, I just think Purdue's kind of similar to UConn in the way. Like, I think they're destined to get to at least the Elite Eight. I saw Gonzaga get stomped on by St. Mary's in the WCC tournament, and that might be part of the issue for me here.
Connor? Oh, wait, you already said. Chad, you're with Gonzaga.
Yeah.
All right. Houston Duke, great game. I mean, the games just keep getting better. Duke Houston, I've been saying it. I mean, I think Shire's a great March coach. He has the team ready 2 years in a row. They're back in the Sweet 16. They got pounded by Tennessee. I think they get pounded again by Houston. Once again, it's a physical team in Houston, similar to Tennessee. They have enough, plenty of offense, honestly, with Shedd, with Cryer. I think Houston wins by more than 4.5. Give me them to cover here. I think Duke is a fun team. They can shoot the ball well, but I think they're going to get ran into by a very physical, dominating, exhausting team in Houston. Kelvin Sampson gets back to the Elite Eight.
So I'll ask you a question. How many times in tournament history do you think Duke's been the lower seed in a matchup?
Six.
How many times? Just any round?
Yeah.
Zero.
There's no way. 25.
15 times they've been the lower seed. they are 6-8 straight up in the previous 14. They have lost six straight as a lower seed and have failed to cover in five straight. So,
give me Houston.
With that being said, give me Duke. Give me Duke.
Give me Duke.
Houston, I think similarly to what Texas A&M did, I think Duke can get Houston in foul trouble. And it seemed like they're a bit short on that bench. I know they had a few guys foul out, but I mean, once a couple fouled out, they were, when those walk-ons were coming in, didn't feel good about it. I'm not sure if Sheed can carry an offensive load against some length from Duke's guards. I think they're playing really good ball. Houston seems to have been just kind of playing with their food so far this tournament. So I like Duke with the points.
It did beat Longwood by 40, so I don't know if that's true.
It's a 16 seed, brother. Come on.
So Duke's going to be the trendy pick this weekend, right? I don't know where the money sits right now, but everyone is – and they were very impressive. Like, they just throttled James Madison from the jump. Vermont actually hung in there, but – I mean, yeah, Duke, like, looked so great on Sunday, and like, Houston obviously got taken to OT by A&M. I kind of disagree with what John said. Like, Duke feels trendy. That's – John didn't say that, but they do feel trendy, and I just trust Houston more to show up in the big spot and older team. Like, I just – I'm not gonna go overboard on the Duke love just because they blew out James Madison. I'm not gonna be that guy. So I'm just gonna,
James Madison put themselves in a bad spot early when Edwards got 2 fouls in 2 minutes.
Yeah, within like a minute and a half. Yeah.
I mean, they never had a chance when he had to come out of there early.
And Jared McCain started the game fucking 6-for-6 from three. So that was nighttime right early. They're dangerous, but like, I honestly just trust Houston more. And I think Duke's trendy. That's kind of what it boils down to for me.
Right now, it's split. Duke's getting 40% of the bets, Houston getting 60%, but Houston's getting 95% of the money right now. So
Go Cougs. God, I need a Cougs UNC title game. Last game of the Sweet 16 is Creighton, Tennessee. Tennessee's 2.5-point favorites. 144.5 is the total. They're all dandies, dude. I like the under in that one a little bit.
I lean Tennessee right now, but I have not decided.
This is the one I'm easily the most unsure on. I lean Tennessee, but that could sure change. KenPom likes Tennessee -2. Dalton Connect, are you going to show up? You had 1 3-pointer against Texas. I mean, very bad offensive game. Probably the worst offensive game of the year Tennessee's had. I think they're going to show back up. I lean them, but man, Creighton's been really good in March recently. They just haven't gotten over the hump.
I agree with you. I don't know where to go with this game because I love both these teams. I think I'm going to take Creighton with the points, but this feels coin flipping to me because Creighton just – like, is Ashworth hitting his threes? Like, they shoot – it seems like they shoot the three a lot. Like, I don't know. Ashford made some big threes down the stretch to beat Oregon. And I think he was like 4 for 15 on the day. So like, but I just love the Shireman and Trey Alexander combo. And Tennessee, yeah, they just looked a little out of sorts in that Texas game. They weren't really scoring the rock well. Connect looked a little out of sorts. You got the Rick Barnes March factor. Like, I'm kind of feeling Creighton, but I don't feel strongly about that.
Kalkbrenner, I do. Matchup in the post will be a fun one. There's so many good like individual matchups throughout the Sweet 16. A lot of shot making between Connect, Shireman, Trey Alexander, Zakai Ziegler too. Even God, Stephen Ashworth. What a good game. I love the Sweet 16, man. Sweet 16 might be the best round, especially when you get the matchups that we have like this.
Yeah, these are really. I mean, there's not one bad
game. There's not an Elite Eight scenario that I would say is like not a good one. And then one thing I wanted to mention, it was my stat of the day in the group chat, that NC State Marquette game. It's a rematch of the 1974 title game. Norm Sloan won his only title for the Wolfpack that year, defeated Al McGuire. Al McGuire, 3 years later, won the only national title for Marquette in 1977 over North Carolina. All of these things could repeat themselves. Who knows? Who knows? We love college basketball.
Let's hear some revised Final Four predictions. I will start with mine. I'm going to go UConn, Arizona, Marquette, Tennessee.
Mine is going to be 3 of the 4 the same. My Auburn pick's the only one that's out. So UConn will replace them because I have a future on them to win the East. And then Houston, UNC, and Gonzaga.
I'm going to go chalky. I like UConn, UNC, Purdue, and I'll take Marquette out of the, what is that, the South? Yeah, the South. I know it's chalky. And I honestly, I'm most intrigued by like the Midwest with Purdue, Creighton, Tennessee. I could see any of those teams getting there. I mean, Gonzaga too, I guess, but I see it being one of those other three teams.
It's fun when it's tough to pick one, dude. It's gonna be a good round.
I still Saturday. Feel like Clemson could be the team to surprise everyone and get there.
They could be, man. They could be.
They already beat UNC, well, I think, on the road in the regular season.
On the road.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So if they get by they Arizona, did. Like, yep. That's probably going to be a – I don't know. That game's probably going to be within a 5-point spread. So I don't know. I could see Clemson being the surprise team here. I don't know if anyone else would be all that shocking outside of NC State, which I don't see.
No.
Gonzaga would be a little bit surprising for me. I'd be shocked if San Diego State got there again. Shocked.
Yeah, I'm like not even considering them. Which is probably – which means they'll probably make it. Yeah. Really, really fantastic matchup. Should be great. It's like already sad about like losing that first weekend. I know this weekend's great, but like the volume of games in the first weekend is just anything else like in the sports calendar.
No, cherish them all. I mean, there's only what 8, 4, 2, 1. What's that all added up? Like 13 games left, 14 games left, something like that. So make the most of them. That's my last call. Just enjoy it. Enjoy these last 2 weekends of March.
I
don't let them pass by too quickly.
I second
slow
that.
Down a little bit.
And then also say last call, opening day tomorrow in baseball.
Fuck yeah. We're back. We'll get more. There's going to be a ramp up in baseball soon.
Yeah,
don't worry, people out there.
As the tournament wades down here, you know, we got this weekend and next weekend.
Yeah. Connor.
Anything else, Powers?
Yeah, stop sending them to Korea for regular season games.
Fuck yeah.
That's all I got left to say on the MLB.
Shohei's guilty.
Yeah, we'll let the Shohei story develop a little bit.
We should talk about that for a second. He's probably guilty, but
he's guilty.
Wild story.
It gets crazy.
Listen, right now. Athletes have gotten taken advantage of before, though, pretty bad. Yeah. But this would be an all timer. I think something else to consider. There's a chance he legit just had no idea what he was doing because
the interpreter could manipulate the message the whole time, dude. The interpreter has so much power. I didn't even realize it until I thought about it.
The thing that I'll be, this is my only thing on it. And on that note, like, I'm honestly just genuinely curious. Like, Shohei's been in the MLB for what? This is his fifth year now, fifth or sixth year. Like, I'm genuinely curious. Like, how much does he like understand? I don't know. Like, how much can he actually understand?
From what I've read, he speaks literally no English.
Okay. But can he understand? Like, I don't know if he like understands it at all.
You
like,
think if you spent 5 years in Japan, do you think you would pick up the language at all? Like, I don't think I would.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, it's fascinating.
See how it shakes out.
Just a very, very interesting story. It'll be fascinating to see it unfold here.
And fuck Jontay Porter, by the way. That guy is doing crazy shit, dude. Out of control.
That's wild.
You think that was a sting operation by the NBA and DraftKings, Connor, or whoever the book was?
Dude, the funny thing is we get emails from DraftKings every day for work, for like most bet games, everything. And it was like every day they recap the biggest money makers from the night before. Jontay Porter just popped up there two random days, like Jontay Porter under three pointers. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So, I mean, people were trying to bet 20K on his props. Like the most you get down on anyone's props is like 5K. So just huge red flags everywhere. But
it is nuts that Jontay Porter has a 3-point prop as well. Like, what? Like,
yeah,
that's nuts.
Exactly.
And also, there's going to be shit. I think shit's going to change a little bit. Like, I saw something out of the NCAA is trying to get rid of player props altogether for all college sports because, like,
I think that's a good idea in college sports. Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be way you know
how
harder
easy
to regulate.
How easy it probably would be to pay like a New Mexico State wide receiver to just like drop every pass that comes his way. And like with the props, you could still win the game. Like, it's so much easier to throw your prop than it is to like throw a game.
And it's going to be way harder to regulate in NCAA. Just with the peer, like especially with college basketball. I mean, look at there's like 350 D1 teams. So, yeah, man, I think
it's the right move, to be honest.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those. It's just going to keep happening. So, anyways, good episode. Enjoy the weekend. A lot of basketball to look forward to. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening. Production by AJ Bradbury.